Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I don't know if you've been following any of this yet, but I just want to say to our VFN radio listeners that the Democratic National Convention has kicked off. And you know, we talked previously that they just invited Juma, that Juma to the DNC, and you know, they've basically given, you know, time for prayer in Islam. But one of the things that happened here, and I don't know if a lot of VFN radio listeners, they may or may not know, but God was taken out of the platform for the DNC. God and the capital of Jerusalem was taken out. Now the last Democratic convention, it was in there, it wasn't a problem. Now I want to say this, that we're not supporting any political party, and we're not promoting any political party. We're just kind of sharing what is actually happening, and it's so important because, you know, no party has a claim to God. No. Just because you put God in your platform doesn't mean you got God. It's like a businessman that puts Jesus on his sign. Just because he has Jesus on the side of his business doesn't mean he has Jesus in his heart. You know what I mean? We have seen that firsthand.
We know that.
We know that's right. So that doesn't make a difference. Just because you know, doesn't mean you're more spiritual than the other. You know, I like what Tony Evans says, that God doesn't ride, Jesus doesn't ride on the back of donkeys or elephants. You know, he's not left wing or right wing, but he's for the whole bird. So that's very, very important, because you need to know that in context of what we're going to be talking about today. But this is huge. I mean, they removed God and Jerusalem as being recognized as the capital of Israel. I mean, I'm actually reading this right now on the VFN Torch. Again, you can go to the Torch at VFNTV.com and click Torch. And Bishop Vasti makes a motion to approve the rules with shouts of loud eyes resounding around the DNC gathering as they overwhelmingly approve this new godless platform.
She announced it?
Interesting.
Wow.
Makes a motion.
Oh my goodness, that was her.
It's like, Bishop, first African American woman, I believe, to head, African Methodist denomination. Quote me on that, but she motioned it. She motioned to approve the rules with loud shouts of eyes resounding around the DNC gathering as they overwhelmingly approved the new godless platform. Now that they approved it, they took Jerusalem out as the capital of Israel. This is very significant. And then, because such outcries, I mean, they approved this just a day ago. Not yesterday, but the day before.
Day before yesterday.
Yeah. And they approved it within, like, you know, 24 hours. The next day, there was such an outcry. Like, you removed God? You removed God from the platform. They actually voted to put God back in. They actually voted. They wanted to, you know, make this happen. They wanted to correct this, if you will, and called them to rethink this. So they want to reintroduce God to the platform, and so they had to vote for it. Now I'm going to show you a video. I'm going to let you hear a video. Now you got to understand this. This is on the floor of the DNC. They're making an amendment now to put God back on the platform. You know, the platform is what you're running on. The platform is what the political party says. These are the issues. These are the things that we want to promote this time around. This is the things that we want to rally our politicians, our party folks around. And this is what we're presenting as. This is what we're all about. And so it's pretty significant when you take God out. What are you saying? Very, very interesting. Crazy. So they're on the floor now, okay, and they have to bring this to a vote. So I want you to hear. This is the mayor of Los Angeles. He's in the front, okay. This is in the auditorium of the Civic Center. There's just, you know, tons of people in there. Now I'm gonna play a little segment. I want you to hear what happens when they try to vote God back in. You got to have a vote. You got to have 2/3 vote.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen.
Chair recognizes the delegate from Ohio, the chair of the platform drafting committee, former governor Ted Strickland.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I move that we suspend the rules to permit an amendment to the platform adopted by this convention last night.
So he's saying, hey, I want to make an amendment. We want to bring, you know, we adopted this platform last night. I want to amend this. I want to do something here. Listen to this.
Governor Strickland has made a motion on the floor to suspend the rules. Is there a second? A motion to suspend the rules to permit the amendment.
Now you got to see this. I mean, there is, and this video is available for you on the VFN Torch. So you'll be able to see this in its entirety. But it is packed out. I mean, there's plenty of people there.
To the platform has been moved and seconded. This is a non-debatable motion requiring a 2/3 vote. All of those in favor of suspending the rules, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. In the opinion of the chair, there's been a 2/3 affirmative vote to suspend the rules. Governor.
All right, so they're suspending the rules. So now he's going to introduce what they want to do.
Would you like to make your motion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This summer, I was proud to serve this party as the platform drafting committee chair. As the chair, I come before you today to discuss two important matters related to our party's national platform.
Two important matters relating to our party's political platform. That's what he said, right?
Yeah.
As an ordained United Methodist minister, I am here to attest and affirm that our faith and belief in God is central to the American story.
Our firm and belief in God.
And informs the values we've expressed in our party's platform. In addition,
is the second part.
President Obama recognizes Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, and our party's platform should as well. Mr. Chairman, I have submitted my amendment in writing, and I believe it is being projected on the screen for the delegates to see. I move adoption of the amendment as submitted.
You got to see this now. He's moving so that now they put the amendment up. It's on the screen. They got to vote for this.
Right.
They got to vote for this. Now the camera pans. We have a picture of this now, the VFN Torch. The picture pans to a couple, a lady and a gentleman, and ladies holding a sign that says Arab American Democrat. She looks in shock and in disbelief. In shock, like, what is happening?
Right.
Okay. And I mean, you got to look at this. I mean, it's just like, and the guy sitting next to her is taking the picture. He has a camera out. He's taking the picture of the Methodist pastor making the motion to place God in Jerusalem back in the DNC platform.
Right.
Okay. Now, why is he taking a picture of the guy? What's that all about? Why is he taking a picture of him? Okay.
Yeah.
She's holding a sign, Arab American Democrat. And so now he's put it up. It's on the screen. Listen to what happens.
And shown to the delegates.
A motion has been made. Is there a second? Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, the matter requires a 2/3 vote in the affirmative. All those delegates in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those delegates opposed, say no.
No.
In the opinion of the... Let me do that again.
You need 2/3 vote now, okay?
Wow.
You heard the ayes and you heard the noes.
Yeah.
They just voted. The noes were louder. They're trying to reinstate God into their platform. It's just not funny. It's just like, oh my goodness.
Wow.
They're trying to reinstate God back in the platform and they're saying no. So he says, let me do this again. Listen up.
All of those delegates in favor say aye. All those delegates opposed say no.
No.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Now he's standing befuddled. He doesn't know what to say. Listen,
I guess
he's looking around. He's shocked because they're saying no. And this couple, the camera pans to this couple, and they're standing up, they're waving their hand, they're saying no. I mean, they're saying no.
Wow.
And the rest of the delegates there, they're saying no. We don't want to put God back into the platform. We don't want to accept Jerusalem as the capital. No.
Mm.
So he's looking around. The mayor's looking around because he's, you know, like, what do I say
to that? Yeah.
And listen close. The lady comes behind and says, you got to let them do what they're going to do. You got to let them do what they're going to do.
I'll do that one more time.
This is the third time now. The third time.
All those delegates in favor say aye. All those delegates opposed say no. In the opinion of the chair, 2/3 have voted in the affirmative. The motion is adopted. And the platform has been amended as shown on the screen.
Wow.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And Governor Strickland.
Wow.
No.
Was this last night?
They just brought him in. Even though they said no, that this couple is still up there. I mean, you got to look at the face of disgust. I mean, just like they're just disgusted. Huh. They're waving. Once he says, you know, and the chair recognizes the eyes, you need 2/3 of a vote. They were gonna bring God back into the platform.
Took him out, what, the day before?
Right. Now they want to bring him back.
And that's something.
These are the leaders.
Right.
And the delegates are saying no. And they're just waving their hands. And now when they say accepted, they're just saying no. They're booing. They booed. Remember, this is just a sign. Listen. I mean, we got to pay attention to what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pay attention. This is not about a Democrat party. This is not about the Republicans. This is not about either one of them.
Because
we're not glorifying Republicans. We're not glorifying Democrats. We're just saying this is just what happened. This is just what happened. And three times, Pat. Three times. But let's take a closer look at this. Because it's one thing for the Democratic Party to take God, right,
mm-hmm.
out of the platform,
right,
out of their values. But Pat,
mm-hmm.
it seems like the church is taking God out of their hearts.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, how can you point a finger? This is the whole thing. How can you point a finger at anybody mm-hmm. right now? You know, that's why BFN Radio is for the church. It's like, if my people, we're not talking to the world.
Mm-hmm.
The DNC took God out of their platform, but maybe the church is taking God out of their hearts.
That's right.
And you know that, you know what? As the church goes, so goes the nation. We're just reaping. We're just reaping what's been happening. Now, I want to share with you an interesting article today that very, very interesting. This is by George Barnum and their research group, and they do a lot of polling on religious issues and so much more. But they ask a question. They ask a question, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
They ask, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
And what are the duties and obligations of someone who calls himself or herself a Christian or claims to be a citizen of the kingdom of God? I mean, this is a legitimate question, because this came about because back about a year ago, they were asking, you know, in view of 9/11, in view of what happened, they were asking the question to America, what does it mean to be an American? Mm-hmm. You know, what are the duties and the obligations of people who call themselves citizens of the United States? And that's important. You know, if you're an American and you live in this country, you know, what is an American? You know? Do you believe in the Constitution? You know, yeah. let's, and that's a question. But he wanted to go deeper, in which I like this. This is good. He poses the question. Maybe the church should consider that themselves for the church.
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus Christ? And what are the duties and obligations of someone who calls himself or herself a Christian or claims to be a citizen of the kingdom of God? Well, in his research, putting together this book called Maximum Faith, he says that concerning whether or not people's lives are their research took place as concerning whether or not people's lives are transformed by their faith in a relationship with God. They want to find out, was their life truly transformed by their faith? and how that transformation takes place. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now, he goes on to say, well, everyone's on a lifelong journey. You know, this research reveals some sticking points, some things that are obstacles that hinder believers. Okay? And from being the world changers they're meant to be. Right. Mm-hmm. He says a nationwide study was conducted that indicates that there are several barriers to overcome before many people are likely to persevere and maximize their connection with God. The first commitment. This is the first commitment. Mm-hmm. Okay, to being transformed.
Right.
Okay, by God. This is for they interviewed Christians. They surveyed Christians. Says four out of five self-identified Christian adults. Four out of every five mm-hmm. of self-identified, they said, hey, I am a Christian. That's 81% say that they have made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that is still important in their life today. Mm-hmm. Okay. More than three out of four self-identified Christians, 78% strongly agreed that their spirituality is very important to them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is very important to them. Yet, less than one out of every five self-identified Christian, 18%, claims to be totally committed to investing in their own spiritual development. You gotta listen to this. You don't get lost in the numbers here. Don't get lost in the numbers. This is startling. This is startling. Out of those who profess to be Christians, uh-huh. In this survey, less than one out of every five, for every five Christians, only one of them, 18%, only one of them claims to be totally committed to investing in their own spiritual development. Hello? Hello?
Wow.
Less than 18% are committed to their own, committed to walking out this relationship with the Lord?
Wow.
Are you serious? Are you serious? And it's like they have obstacles in persevering their connection with God. Well, I would dare say that you would have a problem making a connection with God if only 18% claim to be totally committed mm-hmm. to investing in their own spiritual development. I mean, come on now.
Wow.
If you're not invested in your walk and your relationship with God, mm-hmm. do you actually expect to have one? Do you expect to have one? You think about all the things that people invest in. You invest in your job.
Yeah, sure.
You invest in the sports activities. Mm-hmm. You invest in all this other stuff. If you don't invest in the most, which should be, you say you're a Christian, right? I mean, let's go back. Let's go back to the same people. Four out of five self-identified Christian adults, 81% said that they made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. They made a personal commitment.
Mm-hmm.
That is still important in their life today.
Right.
So they're you know, this is good. Now, more than three out of four, which is 78%, strongly agreed that spirituality is very important to them. Like, now, what is spirituality?
Right.
You know what I mean? I think oftentimes people get confused with walking with God in relationship with a spirit of religion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the trappings of man's ways to try to have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're talking about DNC removing God from the platform. I mean, but we're starting just to peek in and looking at raw, real numbers
mm-hmm.
that are showing that 18% of self-identified Christians are not fully committed to investing in their own spiritual. Newsflash, okay?
Wow.
If you don't invest, no return. No return on investment. Okay,
that's
little
right.
Little investment, little return on investment. I mean, even the book of James says that if you draw close to God, God will draw close to you.
Hmm.
I mean, what relationship do you have at all that if you don't invest, you'll be able to have? And that's part of having a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 2 Timothy tells us that, you know, there's many that have a form of godliness, yet denying its power.
Right.
You know, he says, have nothing to do with them. Paul says. I have nothing to do with them.
Mm-hmm.
This is having a relationship with God or being a Christian is not about religious activities and all this just other external stuff, but it's about having a personal, loving, sold out, committed relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says about the same proportion of self-identified Christians, 22%, claims to be completely dependent on God. I mean, are 22. We in trouble? I mean, are we in, this is the whole thing. I mean, this, you hear us on the radio talking about the church, you know, if how the church goes, the nation goes, and the church needs to repent. Well, these are some raw numbers. This is the state, you know, based upon this. This is what's happening. 22% claim to be completely dependent upon God. That means their trust, your confidence. Where are you putting your trust and your confidence in? If 22%, I mean, there's a prophetic word that we shared. It says, you know, humility or humiliation. If the church doesn't learn to be humble and totally dependent upon God, and stop leaning to any other idols. I mean, Jonah says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. You can't have a relationship with God if you're holding on and you don't even trust him. I mean, the foundation of any relationship is trust. How are you going to experience transformation? The whole study was about how transformation can take place. Concerning whether or not people's lives are transformed by their faith in a relationship with God and how the transformation, you're not going to have a transformation. You're not going to have a transformation if you don't invest, if you're not committed. This is what it also says, that if only 22%, Pat, or 18% claim to be committed to investing to their own spiritual development, that means close to 82% of Christians have no investment in their own spiritual development.
Wow.
I'll just go to the building. I'll just let someone share something with me. I'll check off the box that I went. I didn't say the church because, I mean, how can you go to what you are, right? But I went. I checked it off. I did it that Sunday. And whenever you meet. But I'm not invested in it. I'm not reading God's word. I'm not abiding with him. I mean, here's to say abiding. Well, it's important. It's a relationship. Exactly. We don't read the Bible because if you ask it, maybe an average Christian today, especially based upon this study, you know, why do we read the Bible? Well, you might get an answer like, well, that's because that's what we're supposed to do. You know, that's what a good Christian does. I read the Bible. But no, it's not what you got to do. It's what you get to do. That's right. What you get to do. I mean, you think about it. You may have no access to your access is so limited to people on earth. I mean, although you may see the president and those running for office every day on your screen, it appears lately, right?
Right.
The chances are that most likely you'll never even see them face to face. And it's even more less likely that you'll even talk to them. You know what I mean? But yet you have the opportunity as a believer to be with God and have access to the Lord every single day to commune and share and talk with him and him talk with you. And you have time to have access with the King of Kings. So 22% claim to be dependent, no humility. It says those figures help to explain why a majority of self-identified Christians, adult, 52%, believe that there is much more to the Christian life than what they have experienced. I would think so. You know, I would think so. If only 18% are committed to investing in their relationship, in their own spiritual development, and only 22% are actually dependent upon God, which means I actually trust him. You know, what type of idols have we as believers? What have we been depending on? What have we been trusting? If we're not depending upon God, And remember, we shared this not too long ago, but in confidence in God, you got to hear this segment. It's on VFN Torch. You can go to VFNTV.com. It's called Search Confidence in God. And we talked about all the different things that you can put your confidence in.
That's right.
And the churches put their confidence in their money. They put their confidence in their jobs, in relationships, in their talents, in their resources, and in what they're able to do. But obviously, they have not put their confidence and their trust in Jesus.
Right.
And what we're saying is that when we don't trust God, when we're not depending upon God, what we're saying is, God, mm-hmm. you don't have any integrity.
Right.
I can't trust you because you know, you're a little shaky. I don't know if you're going to deliver. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I can trust your plans now. I don't even trust your plans. We're talking about people who said that they're Christians. We're not talking about people in the world, you know, people that don't know God.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about people who said they're Christians, that made a committed decision to follow Christ.
Right.
You got to believe the gospel you profess. You got to believe, because the Bible has transferred. I mean, the gospel's transformational. Mm-hmm. Bible is as well. I mean, it's the power of the gospel.
That's right.
The power of the gospel. It's another segment we did here on VFN Radio. The power of the gospel is the only thing that brings true transformation in every person's life. You think about all the words ever spoken and all the speeches ever given, and you think about, you know, all the different forms of power, physical power, and the power mm-hmm. that money can bring and to bring change to a situation, an environment, or to a people.
Mm-hmm.
But the only real power to bring true transformational change to people mm-hmm. is the word of God. It's the gospel, it's the liberating gospel of Jesus Christ. He'll change your life.
That's right.
In fact, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. I mean, you're a new creation in the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to have a relationship. You got to have a relationship.
Yes.
Listen to this about repentance. This is the second thing. Like, I don't know how much we're going to get into this, because, you know, we got to stop pointing our fingers. We got to stop pointing our fingers. And again, if there's another great segment on the VFN Torch. I'm telling you, if you have not been to the Torch, you've got to go to the Torch. But you got to stop pointing the fingers and look at, wait a minute, maybe it's us.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe it's us. In terms of repentance, most self-identified Christians in the U.S., 64% state that they have confessed their sins to God and ask for his forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
But the evidence is quite clear that relatively few identified Christians are serious about abandoning the lure of sin and handing total control of their life to God.
Mm.
In fact, Maximum Faith Research found that only 1 out of 8 self-identified Christians, 12%, admitted that recognizing and grasping the significance of their sins had been so personally devastating that it caused them to crash emotionally. Dude, 12%. Only 12% said that they haven't even feel any kind of remorse for their sin.
Wow.
No remorse. Listen, in fact, I'm going to read it again. In fact, Maximum Faith Research found that only 1 out of every 8, that's 1 out of every 8 self-professing, self-identified Christians, only 12% admit that recognizing and grasping the significance of their sin mm-hmm. had been so personally devastating that it caused them to crash emotionally.
Wow.
No fear of God.
Wow.
There's no fear of God in the church. There's no fear of God, that God's eyes are upon the righteous and the eyes of the Lord are upon the wicked. Mm. How in the world could we be talking about a world that doesn't know God if the church itself is not even broken over the fact that they have sinned against the Lord?
Wow.
That they have sinned. Let me tell you, sin is devastating. We talked about this week about protecting the Lord's anointed.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about, is the church asleep?
Mm.
Is the church asleep, where sin is not sin anymore?
Mm-hmm.
Where you can watch anything on TV and you can say anything and you can do anything and you can touch anything and there is no conviction anymore.
Right.
There's a seared conscience. Mm-hmm. You know, words, you know, people would say things or curse words before you, and that would bother you. And today, it's just no big deal.
Right.
In fact, you watch a whole program and they curse God's name out 20 times. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
But that doesn't offend you. That doesn't offend you. What offends God doesn't offend you. And we got to come to the place where we come back to God. It's like, God, please reveal to me. Repentance is a gift. Conviction is a gift.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. A conviction of the Holy Spirit allows us to know that this is not right.
Right.
This is not right. I mean, 12%.
Mm-hmm.
12%, Pat.
Mm.
That means, again, that 88% of the self-identified Christians don't feel any emotional remorse.
None.
About their sin.
Wow.
And the question is, are we making disciples? You know, are we truly making disciples? Jesus tells us, right? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? He tells us this in Matthew, the Great Commission. But are we making followers of the Lord Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and how can only 18% be invested in their own relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ?
Mm-hmm.
When John 15 clearly tells us, tells us that if you remain in me and I remain in you, no branch can bear fruit by itself.
That's right.
Yeah, Jesus is the vine. We're the branches. And if the branch is not connected to the source, if you're not abiding with God, that branch is not going to live. Is it a clue? This is not rocket science. You don't have a relationship with God.
All right.
Just because someone claims to say that Jesus is the way, that Jesus is the truth, doesn't mean that they've actually embraced that into their life.
Mm-hmm.
This is not, you know, religion. Man's religion.
Mm-hmm.
Man's religion is about outward signs of trying to, you know, make your way to God and do religious things and religious prayers. This is what the Pharisees were all about. They had their hats, their robes. They had all these things to show an outward appearance that they knew God. But inwardly, Jesus said they were full of dead man bones.
Right.
Now we got to be more concerned about what God says about who we are in our relationship with him. You know, the word says that many, many, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'll tell them plainly. I never knew you.
Never knew.
I never knew you.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, man, you see so many things. I mean, it's like all this activity around church, all this prophecy, all this type of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you don't know Jesus.
Right.
And you don't know Jesus. I've seen people try to just run after ministry as if ministry is service.
Mm-hmm.
Ministry is being a servant to the Lord. This is a burden to carry.
That's,
you know,
right.
This is a responsibility to carry, not, you know, and it's like, you got to love the sheep. You got to love God. You say you want to serve him. You got to know the one who you say you want to serve, right? You want to love the one you want to serve. It's like, this is devastating.
Right.
I mean, this is really so devastating, Pat.
It is.
This is devastating because the church needs to come back to God. We got to turn our hearts to God. We got to get things right. We got to say that Jesus is Lord. He is Lord. You know, another thing that's happening, you know, are people abiding, but there's a no lordship gospel going around. And we're going to talk about this more, but I really want to give you some more stats here because you got to see this. Now listen, in 3% of self-identified Christians in America have come to the final stops in their transformational journey, the place where they have surrendered control of their life to God,
mm-hmm.
submitted to his will for their life, and devoted themselves to loving and serving God. Pat, listen to me, 3%. Of all self-identified Christians in America, have come to the final stops on the transformational journey, the place where they have surrendered control of their life to God, submitted to his will for their life, and devoted themselves to loving God and serving God.
3%?
3%? So 97% of the church has not made Jesus Lord.
Right.
97. It's like, what gospel? Luke, I mean, Luke tells us, he says, any one of you who does not give up everything mm-hmm. cannot be my disciple. I mean, Jesus does not shy on his words.
That's right.
He speaks very, very plainly. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, this is not radical. This is not, oh, you know, what should we do about this? But I was mentioning earlier, there's a no lordship gospel going forth. There's a no lordship gospel that says that I can accept Jesus into my heart, say a prayer. Mm-hmm. If I just say a prayer,
right?
You know, something, you know, that's it. You know, just say a prayer. I believe. You got to have a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're talking about repentance. It says godly sorrow leads to repentance.
That's right.
Repentance is a change of mind, a change of behavior. It's a brokenness that says, this is not right before God. I am convicted. This is the complete opposite of what's happening. And I just need to give my life to him. I need to stop going this way. I need to stop living for myself. I need to dethrone myself as the king, ruler of my heart and running the show. And I need to say that Jesus is Lord.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no lordship gospel. Just I'll take Jesus as my savior. Good luck free card. You know, get me out of jail, free
get out
card.
Of jail. Mm-hmm.
But it's Savior and Lord. Lord means boss of my life, ruler of my life, king of my heart. Whatever he says goes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why. I mean, when you're looking at only 3% of the church, only 3% of the church
right.
of Christians say that they're ready to submit their life to his will. And to loving God and serving others.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus says, unless you pick up your cross, unless you deny yourself, you can have no part of me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's the whole thing about having such an awesome relationship with Jesus, that he is so amazing and so good and so loving and so forgiving. Listen, he'll separate your sins as far as the east is from the west. He'll make you look like white as snow again, pure. Only Jesus can. I mean, I've said this before. Who can love you like that?
Right.
I mean, I'm not in a place where I can turn that type of love down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I mean, people can, they will forgive what you've done, you know, but they may not forget. But Jesus will forgive and he'll choose to forget what you've ever done and say, let's begin again.
Mm-hmm.
Let's begin again.
That's right.
And it's just about an amazing, so that type of relationship, that type of love, it just out of the mere fact demands the necessity of loyalty. It demands the necessity. And this is not radical. This is normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what person would settle to marry someone, Pat, to say, you know, I'm only going to be 3% totally committed to you. Only
right.
3%.
Right. Can you imagine that?
I mean, you wouldn't. They would. These same 3%, the same 97% would not stand for anyone, not even to be halfway committed to them. So if we wouldn't even accept that in our own lives, how could we expect to do any less with the Lord? How could we expect?
Hmm.
Listen, if you're coming, if you don't know God and you're just tuning in and you're trying to come, God loves you. He has a plan for your life, you know.
Right.
But the truth is that sin just separates us from God. You know, sin is evil. And we just have to repent. We have to dethrone ourselves from saying that. We got to acknowledge that God's word is true, that God's word is right. And we want to say, listen, I want to turn away from this thing. Sin steals so much from our life. You look at almost every major issue, problem you got facing this earth is a sin issue.
Yeah.
You're dealing with somebody's sin.
That's right.
Either yours or somebody else's. We need to turn our hearts to God.
Right.
You know, and some have been hitting basement after basement after basement. And I'm like, you know, stump my toe. And I'm like, you know, okay, Uncle Jesus, you know, here I am. You know what I mean? But it's like how many basements, how many sub-levels of judgments and things that have come upon you because you've turned your back on God. And then people blame God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like I often share, you know, if I'm walking across the street with my children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I live in the Northeast. There's some crazy streets. There's some crazy driving around here. You know? But if I'm walking across the street and I tell them, hold my hand now.
Mm-hmm.
Hold my hand. If you walk across New York, I don't care how old you are. You hold an adult's hand.
Yeah, right.
We want to make it across the other side of the road.
That's right.
And you're saying, hold my hand so we can make it across the road. But if my child, the person I'm with, just refuses to hold my hands and just breaks free and shakes off my hand and runs in the middle of the road and they get hit by a car, I didn't do that to them. They did that to them.
That's right.
They left the protection and the guidance that was already provided for them.
That's right.
And oftentimes people are dealing with the consequences of their sin. Mm-hmm. The church is dealing with the consequences of the sin. Don't even know this is judgment.
Right.
And it's like they're blaming God.
They're blaming
it's like, God.
God
didn't do that. God didn't push you in the road.
That's right.
You yanked your hand from God and ran into the road mm-hmm. where there is danger. You know, you went to dark place. You know, you went to the place of darkness.
That's right.
But God told you not to go. That's why we need to get wisdom. We need to hear what God's word is saying. We've got to turn our hearts. We've got to make things right with God. Oh, my goodness. Well, the answer is if my people. It's the key.
Mm-hmm.
It's the key. It's key. This is the key to starting, you know, a great awakening, starting a revival to stop the judgment on the land.
Right.
You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14 says that if is a big word, two letters, let me tell you, a big word, continuing. If mm-hmm. my people, God's not talking about the world. I mean, we need to stop with this, the gavels, stop with this judging. It's like, wait mm-hmm. a minute, you know, careful. When you're pointing out one finger, three of them are coming back. And it's like, right. you know, we need to deal with our own house. God's talking about if my people, right?
That's right.
Those who are called by my name. You know, I mean, come on. If you're a parent, you can relate to this. You ain't worried about the children across the street. If those children are my house, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We got my last name. If they're cutting up, I want to know about it. Hey, yeah, I'm not talking about those other people across. I'm not talking about those other kids across the street. If my kids, if my people who are called by my name,
mm-hmm.
the Lord cares about his name now.
That's right.
Will humble themselves. There's five things, Matt. Mm-hmm. Humble themselves. And there's great pride in the church. I mean, that's one of the things that we really have to be very aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And pride's just trying to do things outside of God.
Mm-hmm.
Follow your own way. You know better.
That's right.
You know, pride and arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to take heed. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, which is have total dependency upon God, not having any of the other idols that we spoke about before,
mm-hmm.
idol of self and money and jobs and,
right.
and possessions. But if they will humble themselves
mm-hmm.
and have total dependency upon me and respect for other people, right?
Right.
And pray, right? Seek me, talk to me. Come, mm-hmm. come here, talk to me. You know what I'm saying?
Right. But
let's pray and seek my face. Because God just wants us to come to that get out of that lofty high position, because you know when you're up high you get ready because you're about to come down for a crashing fall. Come low, you know. You have to ask yourself where are you at? You know, lower still. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Lower still. Come off of that place. Bring yourself low, and now that you're at the place of low of humility, there at that place, begin to pray. You know, I saw a picture the other day, it says the original Facebook, and it had a guy on his knees, okay, and his face was buried in the Bible.
Oh, wow.
It says the original Facebook. I mean, that's why we need to be on our knees.
Good.
We need to be lay low, not offering opinions and ideas, and we need to be praying and dialoguing with God. And seeking his face,
mm-hmm.
not seeking his hand, not seeking what he can do
mm-hmm.
for us. You
right.
know, God wants us to seek him.
That's right.
There's something about when we're praying that our prayers consume with, you know, God, take care of this, take care of that. And we give him a laundry list and then we're done. You know, God isn't interested in intimacy. He's interested in relationship. Can you just be with me? Can you just enjoy my presence?
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we definitely, the church needs to get back to. get out of these pattern rush prayers and rush time and rushed formulas to God, but seek his face. And get this, Pat. Mm-hmm. Here's the big one. Imagine that. And turn from their wicked ways. He knows that the first thing he does, the word here, the first thing to say, turn from your wicked ways.
Right.
How are you going to know what your wicked ways are? Mm-mm. Unless you are humble, unless you're low, unless you are on your face praying before God and seeking his face, it's right. Only then in a humble place that you can actually hear what God is saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people say, well, God's not talking to me. God's like, God is shouting to you. Mm-hmm. You're just not listening.
That's right.
You know, God is speaking all the time. You know, if my sheep hear my voice and follow another, I don't think that God has a talking problem. You know what I'm saying? I think that the problem is we have a listening problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he says, if my people who are called by my name, who humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Dude, we have sin cannot exist. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's like God has to deal with.
He has to.
I mean, I often used to say, you know, I say this when I'm evangelizing, sharing the gospel. You know, a police officer wouldn't be a police officer unless he would arrest people. I mean,
right.
I mean that's what he, you know,
he obeys the law.
Part of it is his job. But I mean, somebody's going to go to jail. Someone's going to go to jail.
That's right.
That's what he does. A firefighter wouldn't be a firefighter unless he what?
Puts out fires.
And let me tell you, God would not be God unless he dealt with sin. I mean, God has to deal with sin. He is so righteous and so holy and so pure and so majestic. He's so clean. He can't even be in the presence of sin. Don't take it personal. This is not personal. Mm-hmm. Just God cannot be in the presence of sin. So he says, listen, I have to deal with this.
Mm-hmm.
And so my wrath and my judgment can be on you. Or if you repent
mm-hmm.
and you turn from these wicked ways, I provided the ultimate sacrifice for you.
Mm-hmm.
The wrath could be on my son. He all the sins could be transferred over. He has taken up our sins. And has forgiven us. I mean, his forgiveness is available in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you choose. We choose.
That's right.
And so we have to realize that God is a just God. Don't take it personal. Mm-hmm. Don't identify with your sin. Get rid of it.
Quickly.
Exactly. So turn from their wicked ways. Then, Pat. I heard someone once say is that your first step determines God's second step.
Mm.
Your first step determines God's second step. Well, I just want God to do this and I just want God to do that. Like, dude, if you draw near to God,
that's right.
Then God will draw near to you.
That's right.
What is your first step? What is the church first step? Mm. You know, I think about that song, I'm turning back to a heart of worship. You know, where it's all about you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we got to turn back and take that step so that then I will hear from heaven. And this is the interesting that gets to me, Pat. It's like, then I will hear from heaven? Where do we get these misconceptions that we can live in sin and just live any which way and then just and like God hears that prayer.
That's right.
Like, oh, and then he gets blamed. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's blamed. I've been praying 15 years for this. It's like, really? You know what I'm saying? Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did God even hear those prayers?
Mm-hmm.
Did God even hear them?
That's right.
I mean, you got to take inventory. You got to take inventory. I mean, think about it. You yourself. If people were disrespecting you and not listening to you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Listen to you and just blatantly all out, are you going to hear anything they have to say?
Mm-mm.
You're not going to hear them. And we who are men who are corrupt, you know, then people fall on the, you know, well, God's merciful. Yeah, he is merciful. You believe you me. Yeah, he is merciful.
Mm-hmm.
But as he winks at our sin or that he hides from our sin, no. He calls it for what it is.
That's right.
You know, and he made a way. So then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Mm-hmm. Our land needs a healing. Our country is a cup of trembling. We've had all these sacrifices to Moloch. You know, we had, it was three, at least 3,000 children a day, Pat, are being aborted and killed.
That's right.
I believe that the statistic is 3 per state every hour of continual sacrifice. It's what it is. Mm. I mean, you just got what it is. Mm. And it's like, and God, you know what I'm saying? He winks at that. He's supposed to turn the other cheek. He's supposed to just ignore that. And look at our land. I mean, we just shared yesterday that we have not experienced a drought. And you can see this on the VFM torch. You see the VFM torch. There's a picture of the drought just 2 days ago. Mm. All, you know, just 2 days. There's a current picture that shows most of the country, Pat, most of the country.
Right.
In this devastating drought, and it has different like measurements of, you know, bad, like severe, extreme.
Right.
There's portions that are like massive portions that are in extreme. We reported yesterday that some of these droughts, this drought has not been seen since the 1800s. Mm. You know, our financial systems are crumbling. I mean, everywhere you look, everything that can be shaken is being shaken. And the thing is you better get out of them trees. You better get out of them false things that you've been hanging on, because it's all going to come coming down.
That's right.
You know, we need to run to the vine. You know, Jesus is all that shaking has happened. Let me tell you, if you're a branch, if you're in him, you're going to weather every storm. It's amazing that during a hurricane, when everything is blowing, it's them big trees, it's them lofty things that get uprooted and slammed to the ground. Mm-hmm. But somehow them vines, they survive. They just, you know, they move in the wind and enjoy the breeze, but they're not going nowhere.
That's right.
But them vines stay planted, they stay good.
That's right.
You need to get plugged away and connected with what the Lord is doing and turning your heart and your life. And the way a nation turns, Pat, the way a nation turns, and we all say, if you want to change the world, right? Mm. We got to change the state. And if we can just do it, you got 50 states. That's easy, Pat. You know, one state, change a country. You know, want to change the United States. You know, let's just start with the United States, right? Not the world. You deal with the 50 states. It's just 50 of them. Mm-hmm. But if you change a state, really, you got to change the city. It's out there in Florida. How many counties are in New York, New Jersey? You know, county, right? We got to start with the counties. Mm-hmm. Let's start with the cities. The cities are more manageable because everybody has a city. God speaks about cities in the Bible all the time. Right. Location is important, you know. Mm-hmm. Let's deal with the cities. Got to change the city. Well, no, we got to get a little bit closer. Well, we got to get with the families. The families represent the community. It's the community.
Right.
It's you got to go into communities first. Got to go into communities. Then we realize, wait a minute. If we want to get closer to change now, right, change, we got to deal with the families, because the families represent the communities that live in the city, and the cities live in the state, or the cities live in the county, and the county are in the state, and the state is in the nation. So we got to deal with the family that's in the community. Huh. It's like, wait. It's not about the county. It's not about the families now. How about the individual? Huh. How about the church? I'm talking about the church. I'm talking about the church.
Right.
If my people, if me, a whole nation could be turned, Pat.
That's right.
If every believer will turn their heart to God, will seek his face and turn from their wicked ways and cry out to a loving God. Let's do it. And we talked about yesterday how the DNC, Pat, listen to this, how the DNC removes God from their platform.
Wow.
Removed God from their platform. Yeah, it's horrific when you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the fact that, and we say, this is not about either political party.
Right.
But just the fact that God was just removed. It's significant. You know, it's not like a symbolic, you know, you can think, I mean, mm-hmm. and even still, I mean, how could, you know, could it be an oversight? How could you oversight?
That's a strategy.
And you miss God, mm-hmm. you know, so the DNC removes God, and then the next day they voted because they realized what happened. Actually, they removed God and they removed Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
Hmm.
It's huge.
Right.
Huge. And there was so much outcry within 24 hours. I mean, it didn't take anything for this thing just to take off, where people were responding and you know, saying, what happened here? What is going on? Mm-hmm. That they voted to bring it back. And so we're talking about this yesterday. And as we're talking about it, you know, you can actually kind of, you know, I actually laugh a little bit and I say, this is not funny. And what I'm thinking during this time is that, you know, this is horrific. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is just like horrific. Now they're having to introduce and try to bring God back into their platform, what their party's standing for, what's going to be their agenda, right? Mm-hmm. That they're presenting to their delegates.
Right.
And they're taking this vote in front of, you know, the whole crowd. I mean, it's huge. This civic center, if you will, it's packed out.
All right.
And they're taking the vote, and it's the mayor of Los Angeles who's presiding over this. And the first time he you know, puts the vote, they need 2/3 of the delegates to say aye, to agree, aye or nay,
mm-hmm.
and for it to be accepted. And he gives the you know, he presents it,
mm-hmm.
and he's just about to go automatically. Well, the chair accepts the chair, you know, he's about to just go ahead and accept it.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens, he just stops mid-sentence.
Dead call.
Because,
yeah,
because the no's were louder than the ayes.
Yeah.
This is to bring God back into
mm-hmm.
their platform.
Right.
And so he's kind of dumbfounded and, you know, I'm all this is racing through my mind. I've seen the video prior to sharing this yesterday, and you can go to the, you know, VFN Torch, and you can see this whole thing, this whole video entirely. And I'm all these thoughts are running through my mind, which some of which I didn't share and communicate over the air,
mm-hmm.
and so I didn't want to take my laughter to be misinterpreted. But
mm-hmm.
what I also knew at that time that I didn't share it, I'll share with you right now, is that Pat, when I originally saw this video,
uh-huh.
they showed the teleprompter, uh-huh. and the teleprompter was telling the mayor
mm-hmm.
to go ahead and accept it.
Right.
It was telling him to accept it, mm-hmm. and the reason he's just in a
quagmire.
Yeah, quagmire, if you will, is because he's about to go read the script. You know, the eyes have it. You know, here we go.
We have 2/3.
We have 2/3, and he's hearing the crowd say no.
Yeah, it was overwhelming.
He's hearing the crowd say no. No to God, no to making Jerusalem the capital. And I'm just thinking the foolishness of men. You mm-hmm. know, it's just like this whole time I'm thinking, it's just the foolishness of men
mm-hmm.
to think, one, that we could take God out. Two, to think mm-hmm. that we're going to be able to slip God back in a party platform through the back door, you know, and just going to ram it in and just 1, 2, 3, let's just do this.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, there's the teleprompter telling him what to say, and it's like, no, no,
mm-hmm.
no.
Right.
This is horrific. So I kind of had all that stuff going on in my mind. I didn't fully communicate all of that, but that kind of just to share you a little bit about what happened in regards to that. Finally, after the third time, he does it 3 times, and he's still the nose. I mean, there's a picture on the torch of a couple, Arabic couple, and she's actually the female in the group. is a male and a female. The female in the group, she actually has a sign
mm-hmm.
that says Arab American Democrat.
Right,
and he is waving no. I mean, he's standing up by the third time. He's moving his hands side to side, clearly screaming. I mean, there's a bunch of them, but the camera zooms in on this couple, and he's screaming no. I mean, just with everything he has, you know what I mean? Just like tense.
Mm-hmm.
And she has a face of disgust, and it's just like,
mm-hmm.
man, you know, and then once he accepted, they booed afterwards. And you're just like, wow, what, you know?
Wow.
This is sad.
Very sad.
This is sad. Yeah.
And I said I was shocked. I'm not shocked. It's just so disappointing to actually see it for your own.
That's what it is.
It's like in your face.
We're grappling yesterday for words. We're like, what do you say to this? It's like,
mm-hmm.
It's just like, are you serious?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, are you serious?
Yeah. It's just all out in the open now. I mean, we already knew it, but now it's just like, here you go.
Right. And you're like, it's out.
Yeah.
And it's out. And you're just like, wow.
Yeah. It's like a coming out of the closet.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's just that, and you know, and it is what it is, and mm-hmm. they fixed it, and they brought God, you know. But the whole time now, the whole time, you know, we're looking at this and we're thinking, okay, it's one thing for the DNC, you know, to remove God from their platform, but has much of the church removed their heart from God?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I mean, we shared some statistics yesterday, and it's obviously it's not the whole church,
yeah.
you know, but according to these statistics that we shared, and I'm going to share some with you today, that 81%, there was a survey done by Barna Group.
Mm-hmm.
This survey, by the way, Pat, was over a 6-year period of time in his research.
Wow.
And said 81% of this is self-identified Christians that said that, you know, they claim, you know, they said that they're Christians. 81% say that they made a personal commitment to God, to Jesus Christ. Of that 81, 75% strongly agreed that spirituality is something that's very important to them. And you mm-hmm. back up and you say, well, 81% of Christians said that they made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. That means that 19 other percent didn't, you know,
mm-hmm.
didn't make a personal commitment. I mean, it's not possible. If you're going to come to God, you got to make a personal commitment to him. That's what coming to the Lord Jesus Christ is all about. You're accepting him and you're dethroning yourself and saying, you know, I accept you as not just my savior, but the Lord, the boss of my life. I receive your forgiveness, your grace, mm-hmm. and I pledge my allegiance to you.
All right.
And so, but 78%, they strongly agree that spirituality is something that's very important. Yet these other statistics don't match up with what they're saying, because
mm-hmm.
it says that 18% claim to be totally committed to investing in their own spiritual development.
Right.
So it's like if 78% strongly agree that spirituality is very important, then why only 18%
mm-hmm.
are totally committed to investing in their own spiritual development? Let me tell you. If you don't invest in your relationship with God, you're not going to have one.
Right. That's right.
You know, the Bible says in James, and if you draw close to God, he will draw close to you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a relationship. And what relationship would you have that if you didn't invest? It's like any other relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You got to invest in it or you're just not going to have one.
That's right.
And when I say invest, I mean, it's just you spend time with the one you love. You know, you do right by them. You read God's word. You abide
with
them.
Spend time with them. Yeah.
Yeah. You communicate. You pray. And when you become a Christian, you live for His glory. You're living for God at that point because you've been bought, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're living for Him. You're mm-hmm. you're not living for yourself,
right?
And so, 22% claim to be totally dependent upon God. 22%.
This is
not all the church, but this is, you know what I'm saying? This is
the ones they surveyed.
Right.
Yeah.
The ones they surveyed. So, I mean, you can't say that the whole church mm-hmm. is in the state, but the ones that they surveyed, and you got to look at and say, you know, do we have an issue here? Is this concerning? I mean, can mm-hmm. we really point fingers? And we just got to get out of the pointing finger business, really. I mean, it's not what God's ever called us to do. Right. And this, you know, it's one thing for the DNC to take God out of their platform, but, you know, has much of the church, not all the church, much of the church removed God from their heart. Because you know, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Mm-hmm. Did we not do miracles? Did we not cast out demons? And he's going to say, depart from me. I never knew you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, eesh. Although they prayed, although demons did go,
mm-hmm.
and although miracles did happen, he is going to say,
mm-hmm.
depart from me. And it's like, let me tell you something. I'll tell you right now, don't get caught up in signs and wonders. Don't get caught up in all this type of stuff. I mean, yes, signs and wonders happen. Mm-hmm. But you know what signs do? Signs are only to point to Jesus.
That's right.
They're only to point to Jesus. They're not to point to the sign and say, "Ooh, that's a sign. That's a sign. Ooh, that's a wonder. That's a wonder." The healing talks about the healer. Mm-hmm. You know, someone gets healed. It talks. It speaks. It points. It shouts to the healer, to the one who made this possible. Mm-hmm. But if you're chasing all this other stuff, it's like we want to chase God. I often say that, you know, the only place that I want to be, you know, is like, I have learned some things. I'm still learning a lot of things. but it's all I want to be is a friend of God. You know, Pat, that's, you know, that's the highest place I want to, I want to be his friend. Yeah. You know what I mean? I just want to be close to him. And that's the only place that I want to aspire for. You know, people get caught up sometimes and trying to do all this other stuff for God that they don't know God.
Right.
And that's our chief aim. Our chief aim is to know him and to make him known. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we share some statistics and just about even about repentance and what were some thoughts about repentance and turning back to God and getting things right with him. Let me tell you, this is something that's serious. It's something that takes, you know, reflection. It takes time to say, you know what, we can't do it without a relationship. You're not going to make it by having, you know, Jesus on the outside, mm-hmm. as if you could, and not have Jesus on the inside.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? Just because we say that we're a Christian, or maybe, you know, we agree with the Christian religion, if you will. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean you aren't one. I mean, you Christian means, you know, Christ follower. Mm-hmm. Now, I like the word disciple, you know, because he says, go make disciples. Are you a follower of Jesus?
Right.
Well, we got to two things that yesterday in regards to obstacles for a believer in this article to have full transformation. You know, and the thing is the gospel brings transformation. That's the, I mean, what obstacles? There shouldn't be any obstacles. Mm-hmm. Because the gospel itself, if you accept the Lord Jesus Christ, he transforms you. Mm-hmm. Transforms. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, all things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of things out there that have power to change. I mean, you can hear beautiful words. You know, you can throw money at a situation, and you can make things happen. I mean, you can use brute force, and you can cause things to change. But if you're talking about transformation, if you're talking about life changing, and you're talking about bringing true, mm-hmm. true change into your life, the only true transformational change is the gospel of Jesus Christ, is receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior.
That's right.
And I just love that scripture because it's so true. If any man be in Christ, all things pass away, and behold, all things become new. You transforms, like you metamorphosize. It's like who you used to be and what you used to think and what you used to value totally changed, because it's not about you or your flesh or anything like that. It's all about God. It's all about Jesus. It's all about honoring him.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So this other area, Pat, talks about activity. Activity, and it says, mired in culture that rewards hard work and business, it's not surprising that tens of millions of self-identified Christians have confused religious activity with spiritual significance and depth. Mm-hmm. For instance, 4 out of 10 self-identified Christian adults, that's 39%, have participated in a combination of 3 normal religious activities in the past week. You know, they say here attending, you know, a church service, you know, praying, reading the Bible. Mm-hmm. But far fewer have engaged in another trio of deeper faith expressions. Mm-hmm. Less than 1 out of 10. So that's less than 10% have talked about their faith with a non-Christian. Mm. Fasted for religious purposes, or had an extended time of spiritual reflection during the past week. That's huge.
Wow.
So it's like, we can have all this activity. Listen to this. He says, various spiritual disciplines include solitude, sacrifice, acts of service, and silence, and scriptural meditation are also infrequently practiced. Mm-hmm. And so you got to realize that, wait a minute, what's happening? I mean, you can be involved in all this religious activity. You can do all this stuff for God, if you will. You can do all these different things in the name of God. But if you don't know God and you're not telling others about the, mm-hmm. the God that you love, say you love and you profess.
Right.
I mean, there's issue with that. God told us to, Jesus told us to go, and this is the last thing he says. Mm-hmm. Right? Before he says, go and make disciples of all nations.
All right.
He wasn't just talking to the disciples, then he's talking to all of us today who are believers. Mm-hmm. And less than 10% have actually shared their faith with anyone. I want to encourage you, if the Lord's done a tremendous work in your life and he's saved you, share him with the world, share him with everyone, share him with every opportunity that you get. I mean, if you got a new car, mm-hmm. you tell us all about your new car.
Yeah.
If you went on vacation, you would not just tell us, but you'd make sure we've seen all the pictures on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
If you bought a new car, a new house,
yeah,
you know, we would know. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we share about the things that are closest to us. I want to encourage you, share the Lord Jesus Christ. Share that people every day, you know, are dying. They're separated from God. They're mm-hmm. dying in their present condition. And then if they die without knowing God, they're going to go to hell.
Yeah.
And hell is a reality, mm-hmm. you know, and something about just people in general. But, you know, you often hear that, you know, people say that, well, at least they're in a better place. And it's like, no, we may or may not know that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I don't have a heaven or hell to put anyone in, but it's like, if the person didn't want nothing to do with God here on earth at all, why would we want to put them in a place where they're going to be with God in eternity?
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it's not about religious activity. It's not about, you know, doing all this other stuff so that we can earn a place with God. Let me tell you something. God already loves you without you doing a single thing. I mean, if you have a child, you know that as soon as that child is born, it's amazing. The child hasn't said a word, Pat. Hasn't done a thing mm-hmm. for you, but just exists. I mean, maybe they didn't even open their eyes yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when they were in the womb, it's like this love just started just blossoming.
Yeah, start pouring out.
But when you first lay your eyes on this child,
yeah,
your physical eyes, the overwhelming love. I mean, I thought I loved my wife, Pat. You know, I love my wife. I really do. I love my wife. But when I saw those babies, when I saw, it's just like I had no idea that I could experience that dimension. I mean, I knew what it meant to, you know, love my parents, or love my friends, or love the church, or love my wife. I mean, I experienced that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I had a child,
I
experienced a level of love,
whole another dimension.
And God was reminding me. You know what? He loves us. He loves you. I mean, without us doing a single thing. I want to encourage you that if you got caught up in trying to do something for God and trying to earn his love by good works and by doing, you know, religious activities as a way to earn favor, not because you know him, but just in a way that maybe you could do tap dancing. Sometimes we get into this performance acceptance syndrome where we start performing for people in order for them to like us. We start giving them the things that they want. If they like tap dancing, and we do a nice little tap dance for them, and then we get acceptance. Well, let me tell you, you don't have to tap dance for Jesus. You don't have to tap dance for God. You don't have to do any religious works for his love, you know, for you to have his love. He loves you unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
Unconditionally. And you can begin to have that time with him. You can begin to have that time where you begin to read his love letter, his personal letter to you. It's the Bible. And we're going to get a chance, hopefully, in this program today to talk about the flawless word of God, God's beautiful love letter to you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can begin to learn his ways and learn his purposes and learn his heart and grow in the knowledge of him, grow in your relationship with him. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful journey. It's a beautiful journey. But we thought that this was interesting. I'll tell you, church, we can journey back. We can make it back. In this last thing that they had obstacles with, those that were surveyed, said that 21% believe that only 21% believe that spiritual maturity requires a vital connection to a community of faith. And furthermore, only 35% claim to have confessed their sins verbally to another believer at some point during the past quarter. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it is vital.
Yeah.
It's vital for the church. He says, don't forsake the gathering of the brothers. Don't forsake. Don't stop meeting. You got to meet. You got to come together. Mm-hmm. And you're the church. Not go to a building, but come amongst each other. Right. You're the church. Because as iron sharpens iron, so one brother sharpens another. As you care and live, you know, I'm reminded of the guy that tried. You know, it says, "I love God, but people is my problem." It's like, hello,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's how we treat others oftentimes determines the depth of our walk with God.
That's right.
And so, when we come together as the church, we get to carry each other's burdens and walk this journey out with the Lord. We can be encouraged. Mm-hmm. We minister. We bring encouragement and hope. And we together, you know, we offer each other accountability. Mm-hmm. And we can walk this relationship out with the Lord individually and collectively. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, the church, she's beautiful.
Yeah.
And if we journey back, if the change, and it starts with me, right? If I'm part of the church, if I'm a believer, it starts with me. Don't look for someone else to change. Don't look for the person, you know, next to you. Start with you. Start to say that, you know what? I'm going to change. I'm going to turn my heart to God. I'm going to seek a deeper relationship with him like never before. I'm not going to try to work at this as far as trying to earn points or do anything in my own strength. I'm just going to have a relationship. I'm just going to, you know, if you need a plan to how to start spending time with God, reading his word, writing down what he tells you to, you know, and obeying, I encourage you, mm-hmm. go to iabide.org, sign up for this simple plan. And it's kind of like a roadmap. It'll help you to get started on your journey. We'll be right back.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.